and welcome to PGS Parental Guidance. Suggested.
Are you using the Jeff Goldblum, Chris Walken school of deciding when I'm going to pause or use inflection?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Jane Ellen, well, it's a good school. It's good.
Adam Cravens.
Accredited.
I know it is.
Fake school.
My youngest child, Jenna, is learning sign language. And so I, of course, did the classic SNL, our top story tonight. Mom, that's not funny. I said, well, actually
well,
it really was.
1975, it was killing. I'm just saying.
It was holding up well. I said, you had to have been there.
Why don't you tell the not quite ready for primetime players they aren't funny? Please, go ahead. Tell them that. Travel back in time and tell them that.
I will tell the cast of S&L that they're not funny.
Because that's what the stands for.
Exactly. What else would
it be? Like Munch and Crunch.
So you have been seeing movies that apparently no one else is.
Honestly, you could put that on my tombstone.
Yeah.
If you really wanted to. Adam Cravens lies here. He watched a lot of movies that no one else did.
So
I mean, I've championed Waterworld for years.
Yes, I know.
I'm just saying.
Yes, and I can attest to your championing Waterworld. I did see it that one time, but I will watch it again just to see if the passage of time has made me find it interesting.
I'm just like, I have the laser disc, like
I know
I have the DVD, the Blu-ray.
It's kind of sad.
It's fascinating. It's fascinating.
And then that he did it on dry land and delivered mail is even more fascinating.
You know, if you want to start me on the Postman and Waterworld, I've got at least 4 hours worth of information on the spot. Like, you let me research it, I can give you an encyclopedia.
Adam did not have a rich social life in high school.
Well, I mean, that also depends on what your definition of rich social life is. Did I have friends? Yes. Were they fictional characters in movies?
Yes.
Also, yes.
Now, you saw not The Man Who Would Be King, not The Once and Future King. It was
The Kid.
The Kid
Who Would Be King, written and directed by Joe Cornish. And if that name means anything to you, also developed Ant-Man
and A Line of Hens.
No, not that. Well, I mean, that's probably where he gets his name. Like maybe
okay.
They made Cornish. I don't know, but that's his last name. He also worked on 10-10 with Steven Spielberg. So, mm-hmm. Guy knows some talent.
Mm-hmm.
Stars the son of Andy Serkis.
What?
Yeah. Apparently,
is he a gorilla?
Apparently, talent is like genetic in that family.
Now, is the son of Andy Serkis a movie I would also watch? Is he actually there, or is he, you know,
did Andy Serkis motion capture his son?
Yeah.
No, as far as either it's just some spectacular special effects, mm-hmm. or his son is legitimately there.
And, well, now I'm just fascinated. How old is his son?
Looks to be like 10,
oh,
18.
Okay.
I don't know
right.
exactly the age, but yeah, I mean, he is the kid that
oh.
would be King.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And, I haven't even seen the trailer, but in my mind, it's a young Gollum, but not Smeagol. But it's a young Gollum.
I want to...
And that's not...
Do the... I noticed the name, and that's what made me start digging. And
mm-hmm.
that's when it's like, it had those, you know, the blurbs at the end. It's like, is the son of Noda? And I'm just like, hold... That's... I knew Serkis wasn't really a popular, like, last name. But
mm-hmm.
I was like, what are the chances that guy is really...
Right.
Andy Serkis' son.
Now, before you tell me how awful the movie is, how was he?
He was actually pretty good. Like I said, apparently, like, talent runs in that family.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that he's quite as, like, prolifically talented as his father
is. Come on,
he's
10. Give him a break.
I'm just saying, like, at this point, if you do apples to apples, he's
yes.
not quite where his dad is, but his dad's got a couple more years on him, too.
Okay, well, he's got a 21-year-old daughter, a 19-year-old son, and a 14-year-old son. So I guess this is Louis or Sonny?
Louis. I don't
Louis?
Know. That seems like...
Louis-Georges Serkis?
Louis-Georges?
It's either that or Sonny Serkis. Whose middle name
I hope
is Oscar.
That sounds like the happiest carnival you've ever been to.
I hope Sonny... S-O-N. I hope Sonny Serkis has a middle name with an O, so his initials are S-O-S. I truly, deeply hope that. So it must be the youngest, who is looks about 10, is 14.
Yeah, playing very young.
Okay. Yeah. So what is the story?
Essentially, it is an adaptation, as you might have guessed, of the Arthurian legend. Mm-hmm. If you ever saw the movie Young Sherlock Holmes.
Yes.
Reminded me a lot of that. Like, it's very British, takes place at a school. You're getting all these characters that are like, you have a stand-in for Lancelot, mm-hmm. for Arthur, for Merlin. Like, basically, it's a very young version of this, but it ties directly into the actual original, when I say Arthurian legend, the one that most of us mm-hmm. associated with.
So the Merlin stand-in, was he just held back several years?
Well, actually, Patrick Stewart, is Merlin. However, it states in this reality that he ages backwards. So Merlin can do different kinds of transformations. Like, he can turn into an owl. One of them is a boy that looks to be probably about 16. And Merlin, the way he seems to understand the 20th century, think if you had Austin Powers show up in a James Bond movie.
Okay.
Austin Powers shows up and teams up. Like, he seems to understand kids in the 90s the same way that Austin Powers understood what the 60s were actually like. One of the funniest characters in the movie. Like, okay. He shows up and he's just like, yes, I am a 14-year-old boy. There is nothing strange going on here. Hello, classmates. How are you? What is going on? Like, just so overt and almost in a way that you don't, he's completely oblivious to it. But the moment you see him, you're just like, something is off. Something mm-hmm. is strange. This boy is weird. Like, you don't understand that it's actually like a wizard, like several thousand years old, inhabiting the body of a young man.
Mm-hmm.
Easily one of the funniest characters, the way he decides that he needs to perceive things, or the way, oh, this should just be normal.
So does the young Merlin, the 16-year-old-ish one, does Patrick Stewart's voice come out of him?
No, but every so often, he would, like, if they're not listening to him, like at one point, he turns into Patrick Stewart and he goes, I promise you, I cannot do this every time. You will not listen to every word that I say. This is extremely draining. And then, like, Patrick Stewart just flops back on the couch. He finds out that there is a potion that actually, like, helps him do his spell casting.
Mm-hmm.
It needs, like, a certain kind of blood, like crumbled up bones and all this. Like, in the first person he sees, he's like, I am deprived of energies. Fetch me crumbled up bone, the blood of a red raven and all this. And they're like, yeah, no. It turns out the crumpled up bones can be found at a local fast food eatery called Finger Lickin' Chicken.
Hmm.
A lot of the chicken and the breading they use is actually just crumpled up bones.
I see.
The red dye that they use in the soft drink is perfectly suitable because it's like a beetle blood or something mm-hmm. like that. So everything that he can find is actually a substitute for real food in this fast food place. That's local. So Merlin is constantly eating buckets of chicken.
That is funny.
Soft drinks, and I forget, it's like a dessert something.
So basically, young Merlin is you.
A lot. He's a lot like me.
Except
he can actually cast spells,
mm-hmm.
and I am not a young stand-in for Patrick Stewart. I'm not a young stand-in for anything anymore, much less Patrick Stewart.
Now, so far, what you've told me about this movie makes me want to see it, and it makes me feel they're setting up a whole franchise, and yet in your eyes, I see disappointment.
I think this is a casualty of 20th Century Fox being purchased by Disney.
Mm.
The fact that it was released in late January tells me that they didn't have a lot of faith in it. The fact that the executives and probably just about anybody in charge of this film at 20th Century Fox either is about to be released, doesn't work there anymore already. I think this just, it was kind of just put out there because Disney was like, well, we're sitting on a $60 million movie. We might as well get some kind of return on it. We don't want to put a lot of money into this thing because we didn't do it, but we have a finished film. Let's put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe by the time it goes on to DVD, Blu-ray, you know, video on demand, whatever, maybe we'll break even. Like, they've shifted around X-Men, which is a legitimate, like, big-name property around. It was supposed to come out back in November. Then it was supposed to come out this February. Now it's coming out in June. Like, I don't think they know exactly what to do with the 20th Century Fox properties that were already in production whenever the Disney-Fox deal took place.
So this movie itself.
Based on the merits of the film itself, how is it? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
It's actually really good.
Oh, okay.
The King Arthur that came out from Universal, was it last summer, maybe summer before last? The one that they spent like $170, $200 million on that just stank to high heaven. Like, it's better than that one. Like,
well, that's good.
Guy Ritchie directed that one, and I'm actually a fan of Guy Ritchie. But if you look at, I think they wanted him to do what they did with Sherlock Holmes with that movie. But Sherlock Holmes had something that King Arthur didn't have. Robert Downey Jr.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to have that element that, like, just draws people in, and Charlie Hunnam. He's the one from Sons of Anarchy. I can't think of.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even see it. So
if I would have just caught it, if it was a made for TV movie, I think I would have been fine with it. I've been, okay, like, this is interesting. But to know that they spent like 170 some odd million dollars on it tells me, I'm just like, that someone did not know what they were doing with it.
That's a shame.
Kind of so, in the same, the Robin Hood that came out, what was
oh,
it?
Oh, yeah.
Just how I was like, yeah, if this had been like a made-for-TV, like TNT movie or something, came on, you know, Sunday one night, yeah, I would have been fine with that. I would have been like, okay, but to be like a multi-million dollar like film, neither of those really fit the bill. This was a reasonably priced movie. Like, I think it was about $50, $60 million. That's not bad for a movie like nowadays. The script is clever. Joe Cornish, like I said, directed and wrote it. It's actually a really clever interpretation of it. Reminds me a lot of, like, if you took kind of that Harry Potter aesthetic and applied it to the Arthurian legend, which I think is what they were probably trying to do with. I know I mentioned young Sherlock Holmes, but I know the seven people that watched that, of which I am one.
And me, so. You five others.
Like I said, and young Sherlock Holmes was another really good movie that nobody saw. And I think this is just going to become another one of those that goes to the kids section of the video store, but that doesn't exist anymore.
No, it does not. Just in your fantasy. So, is it really tanking, or is it just, I mean, it's not doing Avengers money.
Well, very few things do. Like, I'm just going to say, scoring $250, $260 million opening weekend, everybody wants Avengers money.
Yeah.
The last I looked, and this was a couple days ago, I think it did $7 million its opening weekend. And that $60 million number is not including, like, advertising, of which they're not doing a ton.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, let's say $20 million on the low end. That means this film has cost $80 million, hypothetically. And it's done a return of $7 million in the U.S. And let's say it's maybe done $15 overseas in a bunch of different territories. You're still looking at a loss of around $50 to $60 million for 20th Century Fox. And like I said, no one was championing this movie. Like,
yeah.
I barely saw any advertising for it. But I, as I think you and I have discussed before, I'm a huge fan of the Arthurian legend.
Mm-hmm.
And even stepping outside of this, it's just an interesting, fun take on the Arthurian legend through the kind of the parlance of, like I said, very, very Harry Potter or young Sherlock Holmes.
The only advertising I saw was, I think, a poster in the theater when I last went to the theater. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean, so I recognized the title. I knew absolutely nothing about it. And that's a shame.
There's a lot of talent. Like, Morgana is played by it's the main girl in the Mission Impossible movies, the one that is the British agent to Ethan Hunt. I can't think of her name right off the top of my head, but she plays Morgana in this. Like I said, Patrick Stewart is Merlin. Joe Cornish, like, there's talent all over this thing. And just I was in the theater with one other person when I saw this. And she sat uncomfortably close to me. I don't know if it's the older woman from Instant Family that wanted to talk with me after, but like, she talked to me a lot more. And considering it's like, and we were in one of the large theaters, like one of the 250, 300 seaters, she was sitting like four seats away from me. Like, it's the equivalent of
and
like
talking to you.
Yes. And I'm just like, and I don't know this person. It's not like we had casually met and we've been friends for years. Just this older lady, real chatty, doesn't understand boundaries. It's the equivalent of like when you go in the bathroom and there's like a line of urinals and you go to the one right beside the person that's already in there. You don't do that. You space it.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're in a crowded bathroom, sometimes you have to go to the one beside them, but not if there's no one else in the bathroom.
Yeah, that's disturbing.
I'm at like I said, a 300 seat theater sits four seats from me.
So you had gotten settled and gone,
oh, I was like, I got this puppy all to myself. Then she waltzes in, sees me, and is evidently like, I've made a friend. She doesn't understand. Like, and you know when I go to the, I purposely pick points that people aren't there. If they would let me go in when they were closed, oh, I'd do that every time.
Yeah, me too.
Like, I'm talking about, like, it's a, like, I want to say, like, a Friday at like 10 a.m. or a it's some weird time that no one is at the theater.
Except for
my new best friend, I guess.
All right. Well, then I would say go and see The Kid Who Would Be King.
And you better hurry because it's, I mean, like I said, it's tanking and undeservedly so. Like the most recent Robin Hood, not a great movie. The King Arthur that Universal tried to turn into a universe. Not that, I mean, like I said.
I've seen no King Arthur stories that stand up in my mind to what it could be at all. There's sparkling things here and there, but nothing consistent.
You had, I think, King Arthur came out in 2004. Jerry Bruckheimer produced it. They decided to delete Merlin from it. They made it this gritty, realistic take. Clive Owen, I think, starred as, like, and they gave it to the guy that directed Training Day. Because if anything, when I watched Training Day, I said, this man needs to do medieval fantasy, because that's what Training Day is in its essence, I believe.
Yeah. So for me, my best King Arthur film is still Camelot the musical.
Well, I mean, you've got a lot of ones, again, like you said, like,
and
you can pick out
film.
Hints of them. Like, yeah. First Night, Sean Connery.
Oh.
Is King Arthur?
Yeah, okay, first
yeah.
Night.
Delightful. You've got it. But you know what they did there again?
They had David Bowie dancing songs.
They delete Merlin out of it again. Like, it's basically just a romance. Richard Gere is Lancelot, which
I'm mixing up First Night with the Heath Ledger.
Knight's Tale.
See?
Yeah, that's not King Arthur.
No.
I'm just saying, like, if you were to let me just kind of cherry pick,
I also like Knight's Tale.
Through all of this, like, I could probably put together a pretty solid King Arthur. Michael Bay at one point was attached to a King Arthur movie. I'm going to tell you, I kind of want to like travel to an alternate dimension to see what that turned out like. Like, he would still probably find a way to wave the American flag during it.
Mm-hmm.
There would probably still be robots and somehow a car chase. And I don't know how you do that in like medieval Camelot, but I guarantee you that guy's just like, we need to get some Chevy product placement. And they're like, is that carriage a Chevy? And
it
he's like,
now.
Oh yeah, it is. It is now.
All right. Kid
I mean,
who
think
would
about
be king.
The
I know.
Merlin's like explosive spells. I'm just saying.
They would blow up real good.
I'm not saying it'd be a good movie, but
no.
That puppy would be watchable. Michael Bay, if he knows how to do nothing else, like, he knows how to put together some like just visual eye candy. He
that's
knows that
sure.
them exploding. Like Bad Boys 2, is it a good movie? No. Is it watchable?
But,
oh yeah, I will watch that thing at the drop of
a
hat.
Adam, Bad Boys. What you gonna do?
Well, Bad Boys for Life coming to theaters at the beginning of next year. They're doing a third one. Not Michael Bay.
I don't even.
I'm just
anyway,
saying.
Anyway, You're listening to Parental Guidance Suggested Movie Reviews in the Hinson Oakley Podcast Center with Jane Ellen and Adam Cravens. So, a movie doing even worse than that at the box office is...
Well, there's a couple. I don't know that it's doing worse than... Escape Room is also not setting the world on fire.
And is Escape Room about a room from which you must escape?
It's not cleverly titled. Okay. Like, it's pretty straightforward.
Is it an escape room as in the game type of escape rooms?
It takes its, let's say, its genesis from that. Okay. But, like, this room in particular, whereas in, like, if you don't get out of, like, the escape room, in if you go to an escape room, you don't die. Like, you're just like... Okay, let us out. We can't get out. Let us out. And they're like, ooh, you missed this clue. Sorry, buddy. But you don't ever kill your patrons.
No, that's bad.
This escape room is a horror movie. It kind of reminds me of Saw. Like, not quite as brutal as Saw, but like there's not necessarily like, it's not like a slasher. Like, somebody isn't coming in and stabbing them with machetes. You have to get out of the room. You've got basically a time limit in these rooms, or something will kill you in this room. Maybe it's heat. Maybe it's cold. Maybe it's poison. Maybe you fall from something. But every time, like, and they're led.
So why would you go into the room in the first place?
You don't. There is, all of these people are sent, they're not letters. They're boxes that you have to, like, open up. Almost like Rubik's Cubes, but not quite.
Oh, okay.
And you get a $10,000 prize. If you get through this, and like all of them are at a point, except maybe one of the characters, that they could really use that $10,000.
Mm-hmm. Does Frank Langella deliver the box?
No, no. Hmm. But that's probably good. He's
good at that.
Yeah, but usually bad things happen after he delivers boxes. Just saying.
So who is in this? Anyone?
Nobody of. I think the Deborah Ann Woll from Daredevil plays like the secretary, Karen Page. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody knows the actual name of the character besides Daredevil on that. She's in that, and she's probably
She was also in True Blood as Jessica.
All right. Well, I've never seen True Blood, so that makes sense.
There you go.
No real like large name actors. No names are appearing above the title. If that makes any sense.
So no one with a really, really powerful agent is in this film.
Right. Okay. Which probably kept the budget down. And it's a pretty intriguing concept. And honestly, if this would have caught the right way, you could have turned this into a franchise. Like, it lends itself very well to it. Like, I don't want to give away too much about like what happens.
Is it a bad movie or is it just kind of an okay movie?
I don't like horror movies. Like, I was not a fan of the Saw movies. Like, I like one of the Friday the 13th movies and maybe two of the Nightmare on Elm Streets. So I'm not in the bag for this kind of movie. It's the logic adds up in it. Like, they've got to talk their way out of these rooms. They're basically all puzzles. And you've got a certain amount of time to solve whatever it is that it's asking you to do before the room is going to kill you. Then you move on to the next room that's going to kill you. Then you move on to the next room that's going to
kill. And so it's a group of people that shrinks, or are they all in different rooms?
They're all in the same room, and they move together as long as one of... Not all of them make it out.
Of course.
I'm going to tell you that.
And did they find out the evil genius behind it all and why it happened? And
How much of that do you want me to...
You could just say yes or no.
They do give you the... Kind of the impetuous. Yeah. You do get an explanation for it, but I don't want to go.
Okay.
I don't like, you know, ruining that part of movies. But it's also done in a way that if they wanted to, like if Escape Room had done like, let's say $170 million, Escape Room 2 easily, like this could have been a franchised movie, which I'm guessing is probably what they wanted out of it. I don't think it's doing well enough. And like I said, the film looks reasonably like cheap. There's not a whole lot of CGI. It's probably all shot on backlot. You don't have any like actor. Like, I'm sure putting like Chris Hemsworth in a Thor movie isn't cheap. Like, I'm betting none of these actors scored over $1 million payday, if that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, really reasonably priced movie. Interesting movie. Like, I was engaged enough by it, but I don't think that it's going to make enough money that the producers or the studio is going to be like, yeah, we need another one of these. escapier room.
So this one would actually be a nice surprise on Netflix, as it's going to be a pretty decent movie that you haven't seen.
You don't have to run out. Mm-hmm. And like, from the look of the box office gross or how many people were in the theater, y'all aren't.
So did you see it with your lady friend?
I did. She is a fan of...
I meant the lady who likes
my lady friend as in my wife.
No,
I saw it with my wife. Not
that woman.
No.
Let's call her theater lady.
Sure.
So you didn't see her with that with her.
No. Well, she didn't approach me. There were slightly more people in this, and I didn't do a tally.
Did
or
you go, hey, I wonder if
I didn't take
here.
Attendance, like just being like, hey, crazy lady, are you hey Chatty Cathy, you in here? Wait, I didn't do that.
Okay. Well,
my lady friend wife, I saw this with her. But yeah, it's honestly it's a pretty solid intro. Like I said, not fantastic, but if you have the chance to check it out, like maybe on Redbox or mm-hmm. Netflix or whatever, like it was enough that I did not, and it's pretty brisk. I want to say it's only like an hour and 40 minutes. So like it's not a big time commitment. It's solid enough. Like it's interesting. You've got to do some computation.
Are
like
the puzzles interesting?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like it's a solid enough like entry that probably will not see a sequel.
I see. Okay, so Escape Room, okay movie. Kid Who Would Be King, okay movie. And apparently Adam's the only one seeing them. So
yes. Yeah.
you're not gonna be mad if you go see either one of these movies. But you're probably not gonna know anyone else who has seen them.
Though maybe that woman is the one that wants to get uncomfortably close to you in a 300-person theater. She may be there.
Yeah, she may.
And she'll like... Evidently, I was not talking to her as much as she wanted me to, so maybe she is going to seek you out.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
So, thank you so much for listening. Adam will review more movies that people probably will not have seen, because the start of the year is never, it's never full of blessings, really.
No, I mean, Glass, like, was probably...
Yeah, the biggest.
That was probably the biggest thing you're going to see for a couple months. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to say nothing probably until March.
Yeah,
I think when
aren't we just on countdown for
Captain Marvel?
Or Captain Marvel.
Which, what was the other
one? I was thinking of Thor's, not Thor, but Thanos' Snappy Snap.
Well, when yeah, Captain April? Marvel hits, yeah. It'll hit then. Captain Marvel's in March. I'd have to double check it, but like there's just not a lot of, there's not a whole lot that you just, they're not any must-sees right now.
Okay, well, that's why we do another podcast about streaming, because there are many must-sees there. So, thank you for listening, and we'll be back again next week on PGS. What's it called again? Parental Guidance Suggested.
That's such a mouthful.
I know.
And we haven't even put our names at the end of it.
I know. Ridiculous.